Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. I'm standing here at my ironing board. I'm afraid I'm going to sound too far away. I don't know how that's going to work. I recorded some this morning. I'm like looking for things to pile my little audio recorder on. And it was nice because I was on the porch and it was early and the birds were singing, but it didn't really have a quilty feel to it, and I feel like I need to put out an episode here that feels quilty. So at the very least, I could do, while I'm talking your ear off, is iron. And so I'm going to iron. I am ironing, I don't know what you call these units. I started using the word unit when it comes to quilting, which doesn't feel like a very quilty word, does it? Unit. It sounds so, I don't know, accounting-ish or something. How many units did you sell? But that's what, so I've got half square triangles, then each half square triangle sewn to a square, all right? I want to call it a blank square, but I don't think that's really right. And then sewn together to make butterfly units. That's what they look like to me, little butterfly units. Some of them are more square than others. Yes, you'll see. Maybe I'll take a picture. My problem. So you're like, where have you been? I know that's what you're saying. Going, where have you been? You know, doing a lot of different stuff, but some of the stuff I've been doing has been quilting related, only it's taken me a long time to put together all the units I need to make the blocks. And of course, I kept thinking, well, I'll just make one sort of sample block, and then I can take a picture, and then I can podcast, because I'll have something quilty to show you. The problem is I'm hesitant to do just, because I'm working with so many different color combinations, things needed to be sorted. Things need to be sorted before I assemble blocks. Therefore, it would be a risk to make a sample block, because I'm not yet aware of the scheme of things. I don't know what the scheme of things will be. And so, anyway, it's quilty thinking. Quilty talk. We're having some quilty talk. Can you believe it? Well, let me tell you. This is episode 140. It is July 3rd, 2014. And I don't know what we'll call this episode. I can't call it Back in the Saddle, although that is my favorite episode title for when I've been gone for a while. So it's just back. I'm back. Hello. Where have I been? Well, I'll tell you. So my last podcast, I mean, it's been a long time, right? Sometime in May, I've heard, got some lovely emails from people saying, what's everything okay? And like, yep, everything is okay. Just busy, busy, busy. You know, I had my big party. I turned 50. I'm 50 now, and I've had my braces off since we last spoke. I got those off June 10th. Has it really been? Yeah, since June 10th. It's very nice, although now I have to wear a retainer, and I have to wear it all the time. I'm not wearing it right now because I just ate something. And it's easier to talk without it. It's not hard to talk. Sometimes, I don't know, it's like when I'm talking with the man, I don't have any problem talking using a retainer, but when I see someone I haven't seen in a while, suddenly, like, I become very self-conscious. Even though you can't see the retainer, it's clear plastic. People really, I have to say, yes, I'm wearing a retainer, and then, you know, you really can't see it. But I become very self-conscious about it and start speaking really weirdly. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, I turned 50, so and that was fine. I'm very used to it now. I actually like saying I'm 50. There's something very cool about being 50. Now, when I woke up the day on May 30th, my birthday, and woke up and thought, wow, I'm 50, it had a little more weight to it than I had anticipated. A little more, this is serious to it. But now I'm really cool with it. I wasn't upset on the day of my birthday. I just thought, oh, this isn't, you know, nothing. This is half a century. And I feel like I should be much wiser than I am and much more learned and all kinds of things. I suppose I'm successful enough in my field to feel good about that. if my field is writing, which I guess it is. There are other fields that I practice, other things I practice, such as mother. You know what? Now I'm done. Suddenly, sitting here talking to you, I have finished ironing all my units. Maybe we'll go talk in my garden. Let's go walk and talk. Gardening? Is it like quilting or not? That could be one of our topics for today. Is gardening like quilting? I think it is, and that is actually, you say, where have you been? One of the places I've been is in my garden. I'm about to go turn off my AC. All right, so it's summer, you know, as you know, summer. And the air conditioning is the bane of my existence. Obviously, you cannot live in the South without air conditioning. It is part of the package to survival. And yet, I hate it so much. You can tell this is going to be one of those episodes where we go round and round and round and ramble quite a bit. Opening the back porch, turned off the AC. Hopefully the unit will go off soon. Anyway, we were in Ocracoke last week, and one of the joys of being there is that it's about 10 degrees cooler there than here, sometimes more. And moreover, there is a nice ocean breeze, lots of trees. So I'm going outside. So you're getting sound effects today. I hope that's worth something to you. And you can just go out. You know, there's a certain point, maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4, where you kind of want to be in, where it feels just a touch too hot. But, you know, on the bike, it's actually fine. And there's lots of shade. It's a beautiful place. So it was so lovely. We did have air conditioning in our house that we rent. We've rented the same house now for 3 years. It's our 4th year at Ocracoke, but 3rd year in this house. It has AC. It's a very comfortable house. But it's just nice to go outside. And the thing about this house that I live in right now, the air conditioning is just loud. Loud, I tell you. I kind of, you know, I don't want to wish anything broken. Because, and I've been researching it, like how much would it cost to get a new air conditioner? And the kind that I want is expensive. I mean, I think we could be talking about, I want a whole new system. I want upstairs, downstairs. I want the unit. Right now, it's here. I'm sitting on the porch, not on the screen porch, but on the little deck. And I see the unit, and it's right there behind me. So you can't, and it's so loud. I want something very quiet. I want it on the other side of the house where I can sit on my porch and not deal with it. So quilting and gardening, I think that's where we were going. And that I have been doing a lot of gardening. I'm looking at my garden. I'll put up some pictures. I have more gardening pictures right now than quilting pictures. I think, you know, what I like many things about gardening. I love a good tomato, and that's a big part of what we grow. We grow just tons of tomatoes, and we, you know, we eat a ton of them. We also preserve, we make soup and spaghetti sauce. And, you know, at the point where we're just like swimming in tomatoes, I will just clean, you know, just wash the tomatoes and put them in freezer bags and store them. And you, when you're making spaghetti sauce in the winter, you just take out your tomatoes and you throw them in the sauce, and it's great. I got corn. The stalks are beautiful, and they are about my height, which is 5'4". So we'll see. This is the best we've done on corn this year. I found a good place, I think, to plant it, and I just side-dressed it with chicken manure. It's looking very happy. So anyway, but the other thing about the garden, and this is my garden this year, we have two garden spaces right next to each other with probably a 5-foot path running between them, grassy path running between them. Both gardens are fenced. One's what we call the little garden, and that's the man's garden. And that's mostly tomatoes, although there's a big stand of Crowder peas. Now, Crowder peas, I don't know if you had them. They're, I guess the closest thing I could think of is like they're like black-eyed peas, kind of. And the man loves them and loves to grow them. The children aren't into them, and they're fine. Sometimes when you grow stuff, like I didn't grow up eating Crowder peas, you know, so I don't know. So he's very excited. He did, and he's excited about them, and that's good because, you know, you like the man to be happy. Anyway, so that's the man's garden, and it looks very nice. And we bought a ton, not literally a ton, but a whole lot of mulch this year. So his garden has fewer weeds. He doesn't weed. He plants everything. He gets really into it, and this time of year, he's like, that's it for me. My garden needs more mulching, but my garden has been very interesting because, I built it. It doesn't have raised beds, but I worked on it through the fall and the winter, and in terms of just putting down bags of manure and layers of newspaper and kind of building up the soil. And then the spring, I spent a long time digging out, just making pathways and creating space. And so there's a way in which it makes me think about quilting or think of quilting, and that, you're dealing with pattern, you're dealing with color. One of the things that I like in a garden is architecture. And my favorite piece of architecture in the big garden, I'm sitting on my steps. The little garden is to the left. It's actually right up against our garage, which is a stand. What do you call it? It's a detached garage. And then the big garden is on the other side. It's on to my right. And it's big. I can't remember. I don't know what the measurements are, but it's big. It's a nice size garden. And the one thing... Right in the middle of it is a very long bamboo pole. We have bamboo in our property, and it comes in handy. Like, we have tons of stuff staked, and if you need a stake for your garden, as an STAKE, you just go over to the bamboo and you cut it down and you strip off the branches, and then you've got a great stake. This one is, oh man, I'd say it's 15 feet long, and it's in the air. It's planted, not planted, but we stuck it in the ground. The man did, and he stabilized it. And we've got Kentucky Wonder Beans growing up it. It's like Jack and the Beanstalk. The beans at this point, they're about 4 feet up. But I'm very excited. I got this idea from my friend Doug the Fiddler, who has one of these. But then I have, actually on either side, have teepees for my black beans and lima beans. I have a sort of cool laddery looking thing for my yellow squash. You go away for a week. So we went to Ocracoke last week, and you go away and your garden's just kind of plodding along, and you come back and everything's just like wild. But my goal this year is to tame it, is to keep things contained, but to do it in a way that is beautiful and pleasing to the eye. So there's that with gardening and quilting. On the outside of my garden, of my vegetable garden, is a long flower bed, although I have eggplants growing in there because I grew a lot of eggplant seedlings. And they're so pretty. And eggplants, by the way, they're very pretty plants. I'm actually not that big of an eggplant eater, though I'm about to be, because we're going to have a ton. But so there are eggplants and some beans in my flower garden, just because I think it's nice to have some variety. But there's echinacea, lots of marigolds, and stuff I don't really know what it's called, and some really very pretty grasses. Maybe I'll put a picture of that. But anyway, that too is an exercise in color and balance and form. So there are similarities, and I find both activities, quilting and gardening, very pleasurable and easy to get lost in, just in terms of where did the time go, and, they both involve, that nice mix of physical activity and thinking, and, but in a way that's very engaged. So when I'm quilting, it's just nice not to think about anything but what you're doing. And I particularly like that about gardening. I don't know why. I just can't really think about life or problems or anything while I'm gardening. I just think about what I'm doing. And sometimes it's like there's always chores in the garden too. And I don't know why I find gardening chores so pleasurable and household chores just much less so. Speaking of chores, so it is summer, obviously. My children are out of school, and we're finally... I'm not going to say we're in the summer routine, because you know what? I had that thing today. What I have to remember every summer is there is no summer routine. I think that, if we stayed, spent the summer at the beach... I have a friend who does that. She has a house at the beach, not at Ocracoke. I can't remember. One of the North Carolina beaches. And she and her kids go at the end of school, and they stay all summer, and then her husband comes on the weekends. And I think probably he's down there for the whole week this week, since it's July 4th. I think if we stayed at Ocracoke all summer, which I would love to do, we would have a routine. We very much have a routine when we're there for the week. But at home, you know, it's just like camps or this or that. Like this week, Jack has started driver's ed behind the wheel. It's where he is right now. And that started Tuesday and goes through next Wednesday. And after that, yeah, I have come up with a list of chores and things they have to do. And, you know, Jack is actually pretty good about doing actual chores. Like if you say, now you need to, you know, there's certain things he has to do around the house. And you have to remind him and sometimes nag him a little bit. But for the most part, he's pretty good about getting stuff done. But things that aren't really chores or just stuff you want him to do, like exercise. That's one of his summer rules is he has to exercise 30 minutes a day. That I'm really going to have to nag him about and stay on top of it. I'm also like, really, this is the summer of the dishwasher. Because for some reason, I don't know how we've gotten to this point in my children's careers as human beings where they don't get the whole rinse off your dish, put it in the dishwasher thing. Jack is good about getting the dishes to the sink, but not in the dishwasher. Will, just he at least gets his dishes to a counter, the closest counter. But no farther. So this is the summer where I'm just going to have to nag them. And I am nagging them. It's like, bring your cups up from downstairs. Doesn't make sense. But bring your cups down from upstairs. Bring, you know, and rinse them. Put them in the dishwasher. Blah, blah, blah. So that's the kind of stuff that you forget to tell them. They need reminding. It goes on and on. But I'm very... feel very strongly about that. They have other chores. I'm making them clean the bathrooms. Ha ha. Not mine, but the Jack has to clean the one he shares with Will, which he should have to clean because he's the one that makes it really fairly bleh. And Will's going to clean the downstairs one. So they've got chores. They've got lives. Will will just go. He's going to the pool a lot with his friend Gavin, although Gavin's mom just told me that they're going to Michigan for 2 weeks, like July 19th or something. I'm like, really? Really? They usually go in August. So that's kind of a drag. Will's other really good friend, Wynn, will be here, and that's fine, but Wynn's great, and his family is great, but it's just not with Gavin. I don't know. Gavin goes to our pool, and so it's just, and he lives a little closer, and so that's all very easy, and I'll just text his mom, Sarah, in the morning and say, what are you up today? Do you want me to take the boys to the pool, or are you going to the pool? With Wynn's family, also very nice family, takes a little more, you know, it's like a little bit more doing. Allison, his mom, I love her. Horrible about emailing, a little better at texting. I've learned that I'm more likely to get a response from her if I text, but still. That actually brings me to my party, which was really quite wonderful. But the hardest part of it, the part that I've learned most from, invitations. I will always now respond as soon as I can to an invite, even if I have to say maybe, I'm not sure I can come, but I just want to let you know that I want to come. Because that was something. That was the hardest thing. Putting out the invitations. A lot of people responded right away, yes or no. But there were a number of people. And Wynn's mom, Allison, who I really do like very much, day before the party. I mean, I emailed her. There were people I ended up emailing and said, did you get the invitation? What's up? You know, the whole issue for me was I had to limit my guest list to 50 people, but I really had about 70 people I wanted to invite. Yeah, I know. I'm the introverted me. You know why so many? Because I have so many different lives. And so, and that was actually kind of the interesting thing about the parties. All my different groups of friends were represented, and it was interesting to see the mix and match. But in any event, I needed to hear from people who weren't going to come, because if they weren't going to come, then I was going to invite somebody else in their place. But you know, I had my top 50. Some of it kind of killed me that I had to invite people and their spouses, you know, especially when it was especially like women friends, and then having to invite their husbands. Because you never know with a husband could be good, could be a dud. You just don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, there are people, I have women friends whose husbands I don't really know. So, you know, white men at parties, it's a crapshoot. We've got to say it. But the party went well. We dragged our dining room table. This was very hard. This is a table I quilt on, and it's a big table. out by the garden, which was lovely, and other tables as well, and chairs, and we had beautiful weather, which was good because I was a little scared about having 50 people in my house. So as people got here, it was beautiful. By the time the party was really in full swing, it was probably about 75 degrees, and we just pushed everybody outside. We had barbecue catered from a place called The Pit in Durham, and it was excellent. I made banana pudding. I did. I made 5 things of banana pudding, and it was also good and very much appreciated. And people were nice. You know, one of the nicest compliments I got about the party, which I got more than once, is people, I heard from people and they said, your friends are so nice. Because I do have very nice friends. But again, different circles of friends. You know, there's like my Duke Bible study group of friends, and there's my folklorist friends, and there's my Durham Academy parents friends, and there's my book club friend, you know, all my fiddler friends. And we did, my friend Doug the fiddler played, he and his bandmate Rick came and played for not very much money at all, which was really nice, and the man played with them, so that was really cool too. I do have this garage, this detached garage, and we had two canopies set in front of it, and it was good because it was far enough away from the main crowd that the music was really nice. That's where Doug and the man and Rick the guitar player sat and played, so the music was really, really nice, but it wasn't overwhelming. So anyway, it was a good party. After the party was over, we kind of hit the end of school, and then I had to get ready for my workshop, which I did the week before last. This is a creative writing workshop for kids, and it took a lot of preparation. It was, I think, a very good week. We met from 9 to 12 every morning over at a church in Chapel Hill, Binkley Baptist Church in Chapel Hill. I rented a room and had a great time, and it was thoroughly exhausting. Once again, I feel affirmed in my decision not to teach, as much as I really enjoy teaching and really enjoy these kids. But I'll tell you what, I have a lot of respect for teachers anyway. I'm a little embarrassed about how our state treats them. Here in North Carolina, we are not good to our teachers, and they're all going to Houston. Other school districts from other states are placing ads in our papers saying, come to our school district, we'll pay you a lot better, and we'll treat you a lot better. And they're going. The teachers are going. Anyway, as they should. And Houston's nice. People are really nice. Although, if you thought it was hot and humid here, just go to Houston. But I will say, whenever I teach, and particularly this, so it was a week-long workshop, the kids were great. They were motivated. They were well-behaved, nice kids. They wanted to be there. There was 10 of them. And it's still, classroom management was a bit of an issue. Particularly one girl who's a wonderful, funny, sweet, bright girl, but totally ADD. And man, I had to ride herd on her all week. It drove me crazy. But in any kind of teaching experience I've ever had, there's always like one student where you think, if this person were not here, this class would be perfect. So, and I guess since nothing's perfect, that student has to be there. But man, I just thought, what if you had like a class with more than one ADD kid? Because she could not stay focused. It was every 5 seconds. I mean, I tried to be kind and not ugly about it, but she was driving me crazy. And I really just had to, you know, I just kept having to say, Hannah, sit down. If you're not going to do your work, that's fine. But or Hannah, you've got your hand raised, which she did. She usually raised her hand. I said, does this have any, was what you have to say have anything to do with what we're talking about? And you know what? 9 times out of 10, it did not. So that was rough. So anyway, my respect for teachers has only increased. And it was a great experience, but a very time-consuming experience. I have done some quilting. I'm working on this quilt for my friend Nancy. Again, all the units coming together. Maybe I'll take pictures of some of the units. No, they don't look good yet. You know, it's I don't know what I'm going to do. But that's sort of my life in a nutshell. We went to the beach, had a great time. The weather was beautiful. I feel really badly because now Hurricane Arthur is coming up the coast. And, like, everyone's being evacuated. You know, it's like the ferry stops running to Cedar Island. So if you're on Ocracoke, if you're not on that ferry right about now, you are out of luck. But otherwise, I think people are trying to, have been trying to get out since yesterday. And some of the places, like Hatteras, they had to get out. It was mandatory evacuation. Ocracoke, it was not mandatory, but, you know, I would have gone. If we were there, we would have left. Because if you get stuck on the island and there's no electricity and there's flooding and, you know, it's an island, you know, so if you don't live there and don't have a food, you know, some food stored up and whatever, you're out of luck. So anyway, I'm not glad it's happening at all, but I'm very glad that we're not there this week, that we were there last week, and it was a beautiful week and we had a very nice time, great beach. One day there were riptides and you can actually see them, which is interesting. It was interesting to watch. If you know what you're to look for, you're like, oh, there's the riptide. We don't go out very far in the water because the water's so rough on the Outer Banks, but it was beautiful and warm, and I walked a lot. Saturday, I walked a total of 9 miles. Yeah, I've never done... Yeah, I don't think I've ever walked 9 miles in a day. It wasn't all at once, but I clocked in 9 miles. It's like 1,000 steps or so. Very fun. I did a lot of reading. In fact, I was reading books, among other things, about walking. Oh, I did read this very charming book by an author I had not heard of, but I think is has enjoyed popularity in the UK and maybe some in the US as well, and I just hadn't heard of her. Her name is Alice Taylor. She's Irish at this point. I would suspect she's fairly, if she's still alive, which she may be, you know, well, I would suspect she's in her early 80s. And she is primarily a memoirist, and the book I read is called The Village, which is really about her early married life. Apparently, she has a couple books that that document her life prior to that. But The Village, it was charming. I really enjoyed it. It was good beach reading. And then I read a book called Going Home by the English poet Simon Armitage. Which is about the months he spent. I think he spent, I don't know if it's months, might have been a couple months, hiking the Pineal. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Pineal Trail that goes basically down the spine of England. I'm starting in Scotland and then you head south. Although, I guess typically people start in England and head north into Scotland. But, I guess he lives, his hometown is fairly far south, so he thought it'd be funner to go home. And it's very, he's a poet, and I enjoyed that a great deal, and I finished something else, but now I can't remember what. Anyway, I was reading most primarily nonfiction. I'm reading a book called A Book of Silence, which is very good, and a book called The Old Ways, which is about walking old paths and trails in both the UK and in Europe, by Robert McFarlane. Which is a fascinating book. Hard is not the right word, but it's a book you read slowly. It's very poetical, very beautifully written, but complex in its language and its thoughts. So it's taken me a while. Anyway, so that was nice. So the beach was nice. Home is nice. Again, not expecting to get into a routine, although that is something I certainly dream about in a big way. And, you know, looking forward to continuing with quilting. Oh, I have a little bit of news, quilting news or quilting world news. Actually, two things. I've read somewhere that Mark Lipinski has started a slow quilting movement. Now, he's quick to admit that slow quilting, he did not originate slow quilting. I was like, well, no, because we know our dear Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. She may not have originated it either, but that's something that she was talking about 2 years ago. But now he's into, you know, and I love Mark Lipinski, so I need to. I think he's doing a slow quilting blog. So anyway, but the other thing is, yesterday I got a phone call from Thimble Pleasures, and I had no idea why they were calling me. And it turned out that Annie Smith, who you may know if you're a longtime podcast listener, you've probably listened to her podcast. She has not put up an episode in about a year. But she was certainly one of the first podcasters, quilting podcasters, I ever listened to. And it's all up on iTunes. and she it's wonderful stuff. And she does a lot of teaching. It's just is great. And I knew that she had a son. I'm pretty sure that it's her son who lives in this area. And it turns out she is spending the summer here. She's teaching at Thimble Pleasures, and she is a podcast listener. And she knew that I lived in, she has listened to my podcast and likes it, and knew that I lived in this area because, of course, I talk about Thimble Pleasures a lot. And she wanted to meet me. So the person from Thimble Pleasures was like, Annie Smith wants to meet you. In fact, she's here now. Do you want to talk to her? I'm like, okay. And I guess, knowing that I frequent Thimble Pleasures, I think she probably just asked them to look me up in their computer, and there I was. So they called, and she got on the phone and was delightful and just wonderful. Sounds just like she does on her podcast. It's an interesting thing to know somebody's voice, but to have never spoken to them, and then you speak with them, and it's odd. It's an interesting phenomenon. But anyway, we are going to have dinner in a few weeks. I think we're having dinner on the 17th or the 24th. I don't know. I wrote it down. And I'm looking forward to that. That will be really neat. And it kind of got me excited about, I don't traffic a lot in the quilting world around here. You know, because, you know, I'm not much of a group person. The guild here, the Durham Orange County Quilters, is a very active guild. It's very big. So I have certainly been a member and gone. But, you know, I need a smaller group, I think. I think I'm good with groups of like 5 people. Anyway, and I don't really know a lot of quilters around here. I know they're here, but I'm not really connected with them. I'm more connected with, you know, the quilt casters and the people on, you know, the twilters and the sort of the online quilting community. And I was thinking how exciting it's going to be just to get together with someone who's very into quilting and who knows a lot about it. That's, you know, I realize I don't actually have that experience very often. I listen to a lot of my fellow podcasters and have that connection with people who are interested in quilting, but this will be a little different. So I will let you know how that goes. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I think it's so cool. All right, well, I'm going to finish up here and hopefully get this posted soon. I appreciate everyone who has commented on the last episode. I don't have my computer because I'm sitting out here where it's nice. I hope you can hear the birds. It's actually rained a little today. We've had very, very dry weather, and so it's nice to get a little rain coming through. Interestingly, apparently not from the hurricane. It's just a cold front is moving in, which we will also really look forward to, because, you know, we don't complain about the weather around here, but I have to say it's been a little muggy. Just a little bit. It's good for your skin. It's why we Southerners glow so much. Anyway, yes, so thank you for commenting, emailing. Thanks for everyone who's expressed a little concern by my absence. As always, I hope to be more present, but make no promises. But I'm going to go back in and continue working on my quilt. And who knows, maybe I'll do some quilt diaries. Maybe you'll hear from me again soon. I hope so. Now I have to remember Katie's motto for me, which I believe is, life is short, quilt first. See you next time.